You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Though Fantasy Baseball Show. Week one overreactions to fantasy things. We're going to talk the Major League Baseball news, including how some of the guys who got sent down did, injuries, and so on. And then, of course, the ever so popular ads and drops segment coming to you today as well. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, SeatGeek, and BellyUpFantasySports.com. I'm your host, Vince Stover. And we have a ton of things for you today as we are finally into real baseball. And we have real, live, active fantasy baseball topics to talk about. And we're going to cover it all today. I am joined today, as I am almost every single Sunday, by the senior fantasy writer from BellyUpFantasySports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And, you know, today is Easter, so happy Easter to everybody out there. And just remember, he is risen.
Yes, he is. And we had a great Easter here in Kentucky. And, you know, I considered doing this show last night instead of today. But honestly, I have a little bit more time tonight than I did last night. But that being said, happy Easter to everyone, of course, as well. All right. Well, Kevin, we have so much to talk about. We've had a couple days of real baseball and a lot of fun involved in that and plenty of topics to talk about. But we're going to start things off today with a segment we like to call the Fantasy Burner. All right. The Fantasy Burner segment is presented by SeatGeek.com. It's now is a great time to go out and get you some baseball tickets. I was actually looking on SeatGeek the other day to look at some pricing for when the Brewers come to Cincinnati. And you use that code BellyUpSports at checkout. You get $20 off your first purchase. Again, that's at SeatGeek.com. Code BellyUpSports for $20 off your purchase. All right, Kev, here's what we're doing in segment number one today. We are overreacting. What have we seen this week that made us go, oh my goodness, this person is the next fantasy superstar, or the one that we saw that we go, oh my goodness, going to be horrible in fantasy this year. Now we know, me and Kevin are professionals. We know you cannot overreact, but that being said, it's fun to overreact.
That's right. I'm bristling with overreactions, so I'm ready to go.
All right. Let's get things rolling with some overreactions. I'll let you start off. Who's a guy you're overreacting to? I'm here first week of baseball.
Okay, so the guy I'm going to overreact on first, and you could probably say this about just about everybody that's in the Arizona Diamondbacks, all their hitters. As you saw the other day, they put 14 runs in one inning. Yeah. But the guy that I'm going to specifically overreact to, and is a guy that, if you remember, when we did our third base tiers, I said that this guy was somebody that has late round value. Well, he's got value all over the place now. And I'm talking about Eugenio Suarez. And so if you look at it, he went hitless today. But before that, the first game, two hits, an RBI, no, two RBIs, a run scored. Next day, two hits, an RBI, run scored. Next day, two hits, including a home run. So I'm going to overreact right now and say that Eugenio Suarez is going to be one of the top 10 third basemen in fantasy baseball this year. So, and he, let me see, you know, we're going to talk about ads and stuff, but I'm going to throw him in right now because he's an 18.5% rostered. If you need help at third base, go and get him. And I like what Arizona, I know, I realize they're playing Colorado, but they weren't in Colorado. So Eugenio Suarez, a guy that, you know, I was high to begin with, but I'm pretty much, you could say I'm over the moon about him right now. So go and get Eugenio Suarez if you have any problems at third base.
All right. So I'm smiling because Eugenio Suarez is not the Diamondback that I was going to.
Okay. Talk
about, but you said top 10 third baseman. I've got a guy from Arizona that I'm going to say is going to be a top 10 outfielder this year.
Okay.
That neither you or I were really that high on. Actually, I was not high on at all, and I don't believe you were either. And it's Lourdes Gurriel there in Arizona. Now, again, we preface this by saying they played Colorado, which is something we're going to talk about when we get into segment two. But okay. Colorado stinks. That being said, Gurriel goes for three home runs, eight RBIs, five runs. He hit .462 in the series. He put up, 12 points, 6 points, 9 points, 7 points, there. Now he's probably not available in your league. He's only, he's rostered in 84% of leagues. That being said, my overreaction is Gurriel becomes a top 10 fantasy outfielder this year. In Arizona, putting together everything that he's got. He's also eligible for DH, by the way. But both of us in on Arizona here in week one. They looked really impressive. And granted, they were playing Colorado. We'll see how the rest of the season shakes out. They should be a good team. We're expecting that.
Yes.
Suarez and Gurriel, neither of us had them in the top 10 of any rankings. And so I think those are fun guys to kind of point out right now.
And there's another guy, you know, I'm not going to get too, because you mentioned him last week, and that's Geraldo Perdomo.
Yeah.
And he's another guy who had a big time series, and he's way more available. So if you need, and I know you have him on your roster.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about him, you can. But next thing I want to talk about is a guy that's on your roster, Milwaukee Brewers, I mean, who was shaking things up in the Big Apple. And, you know, I don't know what you thought about. I saw the slide. I didn't think there was much to it, but you know, he's shaking things up, hits home runs, and the Mets are throwing behind his head, and guys getting thrown out. And we were kind of wondering, because he was coming off an injury, what kind of season would he have? And I think that he is one of those guys that has a lot of value, because he might be available. He's available in our league, thanks to you. But I like what he's doing. First base is a position that can thin out pretty well. So if you need a first baseman, I like what he's doing. And we all know the power he has. So I'm going to say right here, he's going to hit 30 homers for your Milwaukee Brewers this year. So if you need some power, I would certainly look his direction.
I'm curious to see how bad the Mets are. You know, this first series.
I am too.
Milwaukee did really well. Their pitching was good. They put up runs, all that kind of stuff. And I'm curious to see if the Mets are just bad or if the Brewers are actually good. And it was impressive. I mean, there's a lot of guys, and maybe all, well, I don't want to get too Brewer heavy on this show, but Chirinos he played really amazing baseball this week. Yelich looked phenomenal. Adamas.
He did.
And you're right. Hoskins played really well. He did. I listened to an interview with the Milwaukee broadcast before game one, and he basically just said, I really hate the Phillies. Or not the Phillies, the Mets. I really hate the Mets for my time with the Phillies. He didn't like them coming in, and he had that chip on his shoulder. I'm curious to see now, moving off of the Mets, does he maintain that play? Now, we know Rhys Hoskins is a good baseball player, but he was out all last year, so we didn't know what to expect. He hated the Mets. He had a chip on his shoulder for them. Will he have to have a chip on his shoulder to play that well moving forward? Yet to be seen. I don't mind overreacting positively to the Brewers, though. I like it very much. Now I'm going to go to a guy that old Kev here has not been fond of. He has talked poorly about multiple times.
Okay. And when
this free agent deal this year, you did not speak glowingly about this signing. And that is San Francisco Giants third baseman Matt Chapman. Okay. Chapman in the opening series against San Diego, he hit .357, two home runs, five RBIs, four runs, totaling 19 fantasy points. Now, granted, those two home runs and five RBIs, or five of his six RBIs, came in one game where he scored 18 points. My overreaction is Matt Chapman's back. He is a valuable third baseman in fantasy baseball and will again produce good value for you at third base. I will say he finishes above Eugenio Suarez in the rankings of third base this year. I like what San Francisco did this offseason, and I think Matt Chapman's going to be beneficial for them moving forward.
Okay, so right there, you know, first weekend of the season, we have something we can look forward to. Who's the better third baseman? Is it Suarez or is it Chapman?
I like it.
There's a little competition happening right there. So that's even more reason to join the show as we go forward. And so, last week I talked about some opening day starters who pretty much fell flat on their face. And I'm talking about Severino. I'm talking about Gray. They both fell on their face. But one guy I did not talk about, and that's Frankie Montaz of the Cincinnati Reds. Now, granted, he faced the Washington Nationals. So you got to take this, kind of a grain of salt. But he did pitch against them in Cincinnati. And he came out of this thing with 24 fantasy points. And I think that, he got rescued from Oakland. So that's a positive right there and then. And so I think that this guy can be a top 20 fantasy pitcher, starting pitcher. We'll know a little bit more because his next start is against Philadelphia, which that's certainly much more challenging. But I like what I saw. I think he's going to be a pitcher, and he's at 20% rostered. So he's out there. So check out what he's doing against Philadelphia. But I like him going forward. And if you're needing some starting pitching on your roster, and if maybe you remember I said don't pick up Severino, but if you happen to do so, replace him right now with Frankie Montaz.
I thought of you during that whole game, Kevin, praising Severino and what he might be. I thought, nope. All right, so you say Montaz top 20 pitcher. I'm going to give you top 5 pitcher, Kevin.
Okay.
And I should have talked more glowingly about this guy in the offseason and our rankings and things like that. I mentioned him, but I did not spend enough time on him. And how dare I? The Los Angeles Dodgers newest ace, Bobby Miller. I've got him now as a top 5 fantasy pitcher for this year. That's my overreaction here. Had a phenomenal game against St. Louis, 6 innings, allowed 2 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts, 32 fantasy points in that game. We know the Dodgers are going to be good. One of the things we talked about with the Dodgers is they need the pitchers to pitch well. Yamamoto did not, but Bobby Miller showed up, and I loved what I saw out of him. I'm big on Bobby Miller now. That's my overreaction for Bobby Miller.
Okay, because Bobby Miller is one of those guys we want to keep our eyes on because in the fantasy community – during spring training, I saw there were a lot of guys high on him and just as many that didn't think he overpitched last year and wouldn't be able to sustain that. I am in the first camp like you. I think he's going to be a great pitcher. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. I certainly, not just being a Dodger guy, but I like everything that I saw out of him. So I'm in on him. Big.
Let's talk about guys we're down on now because of what we saw through this first week. I'm going to cut this off, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Right ahead.
But the guy on my roster in a league, maybe two leagues actually, in his first game of the season, he pitched to a 14.54 ERA, 0.00 whip, only three strikeouts in 4.1 innings. And by the way, the fact that he stayed in for 4.1 innings shows you he's a real team player. He ends with negative 9 fantasy points. He's a guy I hyped up immensely in the offseason. Aaron Nola of Philadelphia, a massive disappointment. Although, yeah,
I got him in a separate league than ours here.
Yeah.
And it was not good.
Those Phillies Braves game were a lot of fun to watch, by the way. But Nola, listen, I had him right behind Wheeler. No, he's not there. My overreaction this week is I dropped Nola down to like tier number, you know, 4 in our pitching tiers. And he just, oh man, I'm not dropping him, but I'm terrified of what comes next. Now he does pitch against the Nationals next, so maybe that cures everything, but I'm down on Nola.
Okay. So unfortunately for me, if you go back to the Baseball Super Show the other night, I talked about how the Houston Astros are going to the World Series and that couldn't get off to a possibly worse start. And because they got swept by the Yankees, and three of those losses can be pinned. We thought their strength of their team was going to be their bullpen, and it has utterly gone to smoke. And one of the guys that we knew was going to take a step back, and that's Ryan Pressly, because he's no longer the closer there. But we didn't think that he'd go out and get blowed up like he did. And so I am completely out of the Ryan Pressly. There's no freight train here. There's nothing but flat tires on this. And so if you've got him and people are responding, because I'm looking at this, he's down to 27% rostered. He needs to be down below 15%. I am out absolutely completely on Ryan Pressly. You know, our league has holds, but I see nothing here that I like whatsoever. So Ryan Pressly, gotta go.
All right. So here's what I put in my notes about Ryan Pressly, because I have him on my overreaction list as well. And all I put was Ryan Pressly is broken.
That's right. And it started last year, if you remember. So this is nothing new.
But the move to the eighth inning, I think he took a hit to his ego, and then that's big in a pitcher's head. If the pitcher's mind isn't right, it affects how they pitch. Now, listen, he only allowed one earned run, but he allowed it in two different games. He pitched one inning, allowed two hits, one earned run, one walk, one strikeout in the first game, and then let's see here. Yesterday, he goes one inning, one hit, one earned run, two strikeouts. He does have positive points there. That being said, though, I watched those performances and I thought, yeah, this guy's broken. And I'm not sure what it'll take for him to kind of get things going.
Yeah. So a negative reaction. I don't know if you can call it really an overreaction, but I'm Ryan Pressly, not impressed.
Yeah, that's all that I had for overreactions. Do you have any other negatives?
Okay, so you know, there's another guy here who's also a relief pitcher, and the Philadelphia Phillies, and this is going to upset some guys in our league, and I understand that, before I even get started. And they're going to supposedly give Atlanta a hard time, but their pitching looks atrocious. And you mentioned Aaron Nola already. But the guy I'm going to talk about is Jose Alvarado, relief pitcher, at 61% rostered. And you mentioned, you know, Pressly giving up just some earned run or so. Well, how about 5 runs on 3 hits, 2 walks, and just 2/3 of an inning? Negative 12 fantasy points. I realize today he rebounded, pitched an inning, gave up no runs. But I don't trust anyone in the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. We know their pitching is not that solid to begin with, but that bullpen scares me completely and utterly. So I want nothing whatever to do with Mr. Jose Alvarado. And let's see, he's owned in, that doesn't surprise me, Burn Notice owns him, or I guess owns is not the right word anymore, but he has him on his roster. And so I'm glad he's not on mine. I'll just say that.
In our league. Burns Notice that he's talking about there.
Yeah,
it's hard for sure. But I'll tell you, I really enjoyed Philadelphia, Atlanta was a lot of fun. Houston, New York was a lot of fun to watch. Texas and Chicago, a lot of fun to watch as well. Of course, I love the Brewers, but they dominated two of the three games, won all three of them as well. But yeah, there were some fun games, even with the questionable bullpens in Philadelphia and Houston. You see the potential that's there because these games were electric. And absolutely loved watching those. All right. Well, there's our overreactions for this week. Every week, we'll start off the show with a quick fantasy topic. And that's it today. SeatGeek.com sponsors this segment. And again, you go to SeatGeek.com, use the code BellyUpSports at checkout. You get $20 off your first purchase. Wherever you need tickets, you can find them at SeatGeek.com. All right. Let's roll into segment number two, the call to the pin. Our call to the pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It is time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com, and you can do it at a discount. Use the code STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase at righteousfelon.com. Every purchase you make, you can use that code and save 15%. So go check it out. Find your new favorite flavor today at righteousfelon.com. All right, let's get into some news and notes in the Major League Baseball. And where I want to start, Kevin, is who is the worst team in baseball? I got a list. The Angels, the A's, the Rockies, or the White Sox. You could probably fill in some other teams too, but I'll tell you what. Until today, I was saying the Angels have to be the worst team. They did get a win today, so maybe they're not the worst team, but my goodness, did they look bad.
Yeah, they do, and we certainly had misgivings against them. How could you not? They lost the best player in the game, and ever since Trout hit the, you know, his first inning home run, or I think it was first inning, it has gone straight into the can against Baltimore since then, and they just got racked in those first couple of games. So it's not looking good. I don't like what I'm seeing out of the White Sox, but we knew that already. And so I guess I'm going to have to offer up the Mets.
Okay.
Because they were at home, right? They're playing a rebuilding Brewers team, and they just got outclassed. And so if you're a New York Mets fan, you got to be concerned here. You've got to be concerned about the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I think there are some positives there. Their pitching's bad, plain and simple. I go and I look at run differentials. You know, the Mets are at -6 right now. Miami's at -14. Oakland's at -18. The Angels -14. The White Sox are at -3. So there's only four teams, that have yet to win a game. That's the White Sox, the Astros, the Mets, and the Marlins. I don't put the Mets and the Marlins worse than Oakland, worse than the Angels, worse than the White Sox just yet.
No.
Get there, but I'm not there just yet.
Yeah, but they're sinking like a stone. And the thing they have to be concerned about, first the Mets, they were at home. Houston was at home.
Yeah.
Miami was at home. Yeah. And so that's not good signals at all. And we know that Miami's not a hitting ballpark, but still, if you can't win at home, what do you have to look forward to?
Right.
And at least the Angels were on the road.
Yeah.
That's all you can say about that.
Man, they looked so bad. The Marlins, I watched a little bit of their game today, and they're just fun. They're not going to be good, but they are fun. There's a lot of energy in that lineup. And they are so beat up with their pitchers, it is going to really, really hurt them here early in the season. But they really are a fun team, a lot of energy. Jazz Chisholm with what a grand slam. I mean, there were some fun things that happened for sure. But yeah, I mean, Mets and the Marlins, I go ahead and just sign them out of the NL East race. As a matter of fact, I probably sign out Washington and the Phillies too. I'm just go ahead and get that Atlanta.
Right. You know, Atlanta, you just go ahead and steamroll the rest of the way.
Yeah. Now, there's a few undefeated teams in the league as well. Milwaukee, Pittsburgh is undefeated. Detroit's undefeated. The Yankees are undefeated. Can we buy anything into these teams and their start here in one series?
Well, we, at least I had, talked some positively about the Detroit Tigers coming into this season. And we're seeing that they've got a young lineup. So the question with them is, can they weather? Because you know it's coming. It's going to be some dips and do's and things like that that's coming their way. Can they weather that? But I think they've got some solid players. I like what they're doing. They are a threat to win that division. I thought that before the season began, and I still certainly think that. So I like what I'm seeing. The Yankees, you got to like their Juan Soto, first of all. Could that guy have any better debut, right? Throwing out the runner at the plate and driving in the winning run a couple of those games of that series. So Juan Soto, we knew this. He was big. He's going to be a great player for them. And so can they stay healthy? We weren't too big on Cortez, but you know they are 4-0,
right?
And I hate to say 4-0 when it comes to the Yankees because I'm not Brent. I don't care for the Yankees one iota, but you can't be more than impressed with what they've done.
Yeah, you know, you look at Detroit and Pittsburgh; they both had really weak opponents to start off, but you got to win those games, and they did. They did a great job at winning those games. You know, Pittsburgh had a 4-game series and won all 4 games. So they did their job. Detroit had Chicago White Sox. They did their job there again on the road. The Yankees on the road as well. Pittsburgh on the road. Milwaukee on the road. The undefeated teams won on the road and went in and took care of business there. And so a shout out to all of them. I picked up a Pittsburgh player in a league today. I went out and got Connor Joe. To replace Stanton, and happy with that decision.
Okay, that's good, solid.
So we'll pay attention to the standings more as the season goes on. Again, we're one series in for pretty much everybody. You know, there's some disappointments and some shocks, but at the same time, nothing too major. Two fights, well, if you can call them that. Toronto had a quick shove. Milwaukee and New York had a benches clearing crybaby emoji. Outside of that, nothing too fun. You know, again, you mentioned it earlier. Reese Hoskins slides into second base. I think Hoskins knew what he was doing. I also don't think it was dirty at the same time. And if you just watch Hoskins' reaction to it, he didn't look at McNeil. He just kind of got up and started headed to the dugout. But he was smiling as he was doing so, and then he would react after he got to the dugout. I think he knew what he was doing. At the same time, it was within the rules, and so can it be clean and dirty at the same time?
I guess think so.
Maybe so. I don't know. And then I didn't see much of the Toronto-Tampa. I just saw the guy jump up and then the shove to his face and, you know, a little bit of excitement at least to get the season rolling.
That's right.
That way, right? To see some excitement.
Absolutely. So, you know, we had it all. We have had home runs. We've had, you know, some shoving, some things like that going on. Some, you know, the Rangers won in their first game in a walk-off fashion. So we've seen it all so far. A
lot of fun.
A couple guys hitting, you know, more than a home run. And so it's baseball. What more could you ask for? Other than why are you starting your season during the March Madness? I don't understand, but that's a different, you know, story for a different day. But you got to like what you're seeing out of baseball thus far.
I do. As a matter of fact, you say, what else can you ask for? How about a new segment within the segment?
Okay.
Kevin, you ready for this one? A brand new segment for our show. Okay. Here it comes.
The This is awesome. This is awesome.
To track all season long the curse that Craig Counsell has caused for the Cubs, his backstabbing actions, his decision to go to Chicago, the arch nemesis of the place where he grew up, was born and raised, played, and managed at. Well, he goes to the Cubs, and because of that, the baseball gods are striking down Chicago Cubs players throughout the year, and it started right off the bat. Justin Steele, the ace for Chicago, hamstring injury. He is out till at least May, is what we're saying right now. And every week, we're going to check in on the Counsell Curse Tracker and see who has fallen to the doom caused by Craig Counsell throughout this season. I got a bunch of injuries, though, from week one. Paul Sewald from Arizona, the closer, out till April, mid-April. Sean Murphy goes down in game number one. He's out till next week. April 9th is when they're guessing he'll be back. Royce Lewis, injured running the bases. He's out till June. DJ LeMahieu from the Yankees, gone till May. Tommy Edman, out till May. Nick Senzel, and now at Washington, out till May. So a lot of injuries right off the bat here this season. None of them necessarily superstars. I would argue Royce Lewis, probably the biggest loss out of those groups. Although Paul Sewald's a pretty big one too. Closer for Arizona, although Ginkle has looked decent here to start the year off too. So thoughts on these injuries and how they affect some teams moving forward?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You're talking about the curse. Yeah. And what could be more routine than fielding a bunt down the first baseline?
Right.
That's all it was. Bunt down the first baseline. You just picked the ball up and you throw it to first. Then you go back to the mound. But no, he went down and stayed down and will be down for a month. So the lightning, you know, has all, you know, didn't take long. The lightning has come down. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this tracker. But you got to say, Craig Counsell, nothing. It's all baseball gods won. So we got that going on. And but there was a couple of good news, I think, and that involves like Justin Verlander. Okay, because he's going to have a bullpen tomorrow, and if that goes well, he might do a rehab start. And then we've got Walker Buehler, who made a rehab start today. Yeah. I have not seen how that went just yet. But, you know, if you're starting a rehab start, it's just 3 or 4 days into the season. That's a positive to me. And Royce Lewis is a guy who just talk about cursed. That's him. He had two hits, and then he's going to third, and he's hurt already. As you mentioned, he's out for a while now. And so he's just not a guy you can trust. And so I guess if you got spots open in your IL, drop him there. But if you don't, I wouldn't hang on to him. And so that's pretty much what I think about injuries. Some good news, some not so good news. And we'll keep track of that going forward.
Some other positive news things. Looks like Snell is getting closer to making his debut. Montgomery, they're saying mid-April, will get his first start. He'll start down in the minors. How about Chris Sale? First game as an Atlanta Brave. Looked pretty decent today. Came out, did what he needed to do for the most part in his appearance. So I think that's kind of a big deal when you look at Chris Sale, because we had a lot of questions about him.
We did.
One inning, seven strikeouts. He did give up two runs and two walks, five hits total. But a solid start for Chris Sale to open up his season with the Braves.
Well, we all know what Chris Sale is capable of doing. And he just has to stay on the field. And you got to like what you've seen up till now. And if you're Atlanta, you know, you're keeping your fingers crossed. Maybe you have fingers crossed somewhere, you know, 24 hours a day. You pay somebody to do that, keep your fingers crossed all the time so they keep him healthy. But if he is healthy, Atlanta's team looks, well, we knew it was strong anyway, but to have him anchoring the back of that rotation or the middle, what more could you ask for if you're an Atlanta Braves?
Yeah, I agree. A couple guys who did not make the opening day roster. Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh, we knew that he wasn't going to make the opening day roster, but he's looking like a summer call-up. He had his first appearance in the minors or the league there, Cactus League, and it looked really good. The number one overall pick, he is going to be in the majors at some point this year, barring injury. So we expect to see him probably this summer. And then Jackson Holliday, we talked about it last week a little bit. In my opinion, it's kind of been the talk of the town. Why is he not on Baltimore? Well, yeah,
and it's really, really, really mysterious now.
Yeah, well, I mean, they other than today, they put up a whole lot of runs. So, but Jackson Holliday had himself a day in his debut as well.
That's right.
And I still think he's up before the end of April. I think he's up on this roster in Baltimore playing. But both of those guys had great, great appearances. Now you look at guys that we talked about last week too. Wyatt Langford, he looked good. He had a big triple in today's game. Jackson Chirios looks really, really good. I watched Jackson Chirios. I think it was 3 infield base hits this weekend, and just outrunning the throw to first base. I can tell you, as a Brewers fan, I'm elated to have him on the team and long term locked up. Excited to see where that goes, of course, as well.
Because Thursday I got home from work, and the game that was on was Milwaukee and then the Mets. I saw his first at bat. He walked and then stole second.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's affecting the game without even touching the ball. But of course, then later he had a hit, and he's shown what he can do with his bat. So you got to like what you're seeing out of him. And I'd like to go back to Jackson Holliday for a minute, because in AAA, who was the first person to hit a home run in AAA this year? That would be Jackson Holliday, right? In the first game, he was a triple away from the cycle. And then he's had, like, hits every day since.
Yeah.
So there's nothing left for him to prove whatsoever. And so I guess Baltimore, you got to do something. You can't keep him down there forever. You got to bring him up no matter what else you've got going on, to me.
So let me pull up Baltimore real quick. Let's see here. Adley Rutschman's been great. Gunnar Henderson's been great. Santander's been really good.
That's right. He's on my team, so yay.
Yeah, Mountcastle's been good. Mullins has been fine. The guys that are taking the place of the roster spot, at least, for Jackson Holliday. Let's see here. Mateo, he gives us 5 fantasy points. I'm getting it pulled up here. He is 2 for 5, 2 runs, 1 stolen base. That's all that he's given us so far. And then the other one is Ramon Urias. He is 0 for 7, 2 runs there as well. So if Jackson Holliday can't do better than that, I'm not sure. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And we'll talk about it until it gets called up. Jackson Holliday needs to be on there. Plus, I could really use a second base shortstop eligible player in my life, and he's sitting on my bench right now. So need that to happen soon. All right, that's our call to the pen, presented by Righteous Felon. Go to righteousfelon.com, use the code STOVE15 at checkout, and find your new favorite flavor of jerky at righteousfelon.com. All right, final segment of the day is our fantasy focus. Our fantasy focus segment is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. Find articles for fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, whatever you can imagine. It's also the place where you can find all of Kevin Wilson's articles, BellyUpFantasySports.com. All right, I want to open every week, if I remember to do this, Kevin, when we get to our ads and drops, to talk about teams to keep an eye on if you're looking for players. And those teams today are the Boston Red Sox and the Miami Marlins. Boston plays the Angels and the A's this week. So if you're looking to pick someone up, you might want to go see who's available from Boston. And Miami plays the Angels and the Cardinals this week. And the Cardinals look just as poor as last year to start off the season. Although the Marlins haven't looked a lot better as far as wins go, you might be able to find some fantasy value there against those opponents. All right, let's get into ads and drops this week, Kevin. We're going to do this every single week. Let's start with the additions. Who should we be looking to add this week to our roster?
Okay, so the first guy I'm going to go with is a guy that, you put your money where your mouth is. And so I actually did pick him up. He's at 7.5% rostered. He's the guy that you wanted me to trade to you. And that's Kevin Biggio of the Toronto Blue Jays. And I know what you're, you liked what he can do at first, second, outfield. And so, and he's got hits in, three of the four games so far. He's had a home run. And so he's a guy that if he can continue to do this, he's in that lineup. You like the lineup. You like what he can do. You like where you can play him anywhere else. And as I mentioned, up the middle, I'm not so strong, but he covers a lot of weaknesses. So at 7.5% rostered, Kevin Biggio is a guy that I would absolutely recommend because, like I said, he's on my team.
Yeah, I picked him up in another league, did not get to him in time in our league. First night, he looked really good. 1-2 plus a walk. He has a home run, RBI, two runs in. He's 3-for-4.712, which isn't great, but he's looking like he's going to be out there every single day. And he has that positional eligibility. He was on my ads list as well this week. And he's always been a guy I've watched because we expected him to be one of those great young guys. And he had some moments early in his career.
He sure did.
He did. So, so we'll continue to watch him. I like him as an addition, mainly because of all that positional eligibility that he offers. Somebody that I picked up, Kevin, and I picked up right at the beginning of the year was the catcher from San Diego, Luis Camposano. He has been one of the top catchers so far in fantasy baseball, producing points in almost every single day. The exception came to when he did not play. But he continued to show what he had today. I'm pulling up his stats real quick here. Today he had a double digit, 10 points, 3-for-5, a home run, 4 RBIs, and a run. He gave 9 points back on the 21st when they were in Seoul, Korea. Had since just the San Francisco series, he has gone 6-for-12, hitting .500 right now. 2 runs, the home run, and 4 RBIs. Catcher is a spot where you got to find a guy, unless you've got the top stud, you got to kind of keep an eye on and rotate through some guys. I've already dropped Contreras from St. Louis, brought in Capusano, and been very, very happy with what I've gotten from him so far. In ESPN leagues, he's only rostered in 26.9%, and that's going up 20 percentiles here recently. So Luis Capusano should be on your roster if you do not have a solid catcher up there at the top. He's producing right now.
I like that a lot. And we talked about how the Mets are the mess right now, but they've got a player this is a couple years ago. If you remember, I was all yay for Mr. Starling Marte.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't on him this year, but at 16.4% roster, this is what you have. He's had hits in all 3 games. He has a home run. He has positive points in every game. So if you need outfield help at 16% rostered, he's a guy that can help. He's going to be in their lineup, and he gives you some speed options, maybe not as much as he used to. But if you need outfield help, I like him. So Starling Marte, go get him.
Yeah. I don't have this guy on my list, but I just picked him up today. So I should probably mention him, Michael Conforto from San Francisco. Having a really solid start. He's only owned 7.4% of leagues. He's had 2 games of double-digit fantasy points already in this series. 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. Let's see here, 6 runs as well. So he's been really good also. There's some players out there that are sitting out there right now that are worth taking a swing on and dropping some guys that have been lame to get started. We'll talk about those drops here in a minute. Next up for me, though, is a reliever. I mentioned his name earlier when we were talking about Paul Sewald being out. Kevin Ginkle, the Arizona Diamondbacks, now closer. That will change once Sewald comes back. So this is a guy you can add in now and hopefully play well for you. There's a few guys like that. Gavin Jackson, Minnesota's like that, too, where the closer goes down. You got to take the next guy up. And Kevin Ginkle in Arizona, they're going to win a lot of games, and he's going to get a lot of save opportunities until Sewald comes back, and I think he's a great addition if you're looking for relief pitchers.
Okay, so, many times, I don't believe what I'm saying, but I'm saying it anyway. And we talked about how awful the Athletics are, but there's another player here. He's just at 2.4% rostered, and that's third baseman J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. He has hits in all four games. He homered twice on Friday. And so positive points all around, and he's going to be in the lineup because who else do the Oakland A's have to play? This should make I'm surprised that Nathan has not already made the move to add this guy to his roster, but he's if you're not into Suarez as I am, maybe J.D. Davis is the guy that you can get on your team. Well, he's a 2% roster, so he's available across the entire universe. So if you need a third baseman, J.D. Davis is a guy you can look at that can provide stats because you know he's going to play, because who else are they going to put out there?
So when you look at third base, I just clicked on this guy. I drafted this guy, and I just assumed he was rostered in like 60% of leagues. And I just realized he's not. So you look at third baseman, there are people available right now. Not available in any league that I'm in, but Kansas City Royals third baseman, Mikael Garcia. He's batting eat off. He's only owned in 11.2% of leagues. He's got, let's see here. He's 2-for-12. So again, that looks horrible, but he has 2 home runs in 3 games and he's batting lead off. So he's getting a lot of at bats. If you're in a league that you don't get slaughtered by, batting average, you know, this is a kid, he's young. He's going to get some stolen bases here throughout the season as well. The Royals, I think, are an improved team over last year. I just find it hard to believe that he's only owned in 11% of leagues right now, especially with third baseman. I mean, if you had Royce on your team, Royce Lewis, you need a third baseman. I mean,
you do.
Fair pickup. Garcia is a fair pickup. Suarez is a fair pickup. There are guys out there at third base right now. You should not be waiting around too long to go get these guys.
I agree with that 100%. So is this where we switch to the drops?
I've got one more ad for you.
Okay.
And it's another relief pitcher. I'm the kind of guy, I don't draft saves. I draft, and then I put guys on IL, and I'll pick up relief pitchers from there. I like to get the guys who are hot at the time who maybe weren't the original guys. That's where Kevin Ginkle comes in. Right now on our fantasy roster and our league, I've picked up all of these relievers. Robert Suarez from the San Diego Padres getting closes. AJ Minter for the Braves, he's getting holds. Jason Adam from Tampa is getting holds. Griffin Jacks, from Minnesota, he's going to get the saves for now. And I just picked up David Robinson from Texas. He scored 7 points in 2 games each, 14 total as well. He's getting holds. But the guy, I can't go a week without talking about someone from the Brewers, Abner Uribe. He is going to get
a great name that is
at the saves. This guy can fling the rock. He is potentially the next Josh Hader coming out of Milwaukee. Young, throws just straight fire, and he's gotten 2 of the 3 save opportunities. After getting 2 straight, they went with someone else today. But Abner Uribe is a guy who looks like he's going to get the majority of the save opportunities in Milwaukee. And if you look at that division, you'll understand they're going to have some save opportunities and a great pickup, I think, as well, if you need someone for saves. All right, Kev, now we can look at who we need to flush down the toilet.
Okay, so the flusher is ready. And so the first guy I'm going to go to is he's day-to-day right now, but somebody I don't trust in the first place, and that's Max Kepler of the Minnesota Twins, who, unfortunately for him, fouled a ball off his leg his first game. He has not played since, but it wasn't all great in that first game anyway. He struck out twice, and we talked about some outfielders that you can add that I would like way more than this guy. So. And he's owned, I just called him the Indians in our league. So if you're watching right now, he's a guy that you need to send off to the other side of the multiverse somewhere else. But I don't trust him at all. He's not healthy anyway. And so he needs to go.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You talked about adding an Oakland A. I'm talking about dropping one. A guy. Okay. eye on. Second baseman Zach Geloff has been horrendous to start off the season. Granted, he's an A, and I don't know that I will probably roster an A anymore this season, although J.D. Davis does look good right now. But Zach Geloff was a guy that I really thought was going to show up, and he has not, at least in series number one. I'm okay with cutting bait with him for now, maybe throwing a flag on him to see if something changes throughout the year. I hate what I see from him here in series number one. So I think it's time to cut bait with Zach Geloff.
Okay, I agree with that 100%. And so another guy that who's outfield, but he's outfield DH. And Elizabeth didn't draft him. Chase did, but I'm going with, and he dropped him. So he's with me on this one. That's Chris Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. And I know it was on the road and all that, but in his last two games, he's 0-for-8 with 5 strikeouts. 5. If you have no value whatever, if you can't even put bat on the ball. And so all this hitting that was going on in Arizona, Chris Bryant had nothing whatever to do with any of it. So he has got to go. I don't know why in the world. He's been a bust ever since he signed in Colorado. So don't belabor the point. Get rid of him and do it today.
So I've got Chris Bryant in my Yahoo League. And the only reason I haven't dropped him is because I already maxed out my acquisitions for the week. So as soon as the page turns, Chris Bryant's hitting the road. We're finding someone to fill that roster spot for sure. I've got a drop this week, and today he kind of actually showed up. So maybe I need to adjust this, but I'll put it out there. And it's a guy, another guy we were big on coming into the year, Washington Nationals outfielder Lane Thomas. He started out 0-for-8. He's now 1-for-12, but he did get 3 RBIs and 2 stolen bases today. So he put up some value today after going negative points the first two games of the series at Cincinnati. But again, it's at Cincinnati. He should have been able to get some hits at Cincinnati. He was not able to. I like Lane Thomas. He's a guy I'll watch, but I think he's a guy that needs to be out on the waiver wire right now until he gets a hot streak going. And then you can pick him up. I sadly would have to cut bait with Lane Thomas.
Okay. All in on that one. And the next guy is the guy that I talked up. Well, we talked about starting pitchers. He's a guy that I drafted. Unfortunately for me, this is what he did. First game, 6 runs on 7 hits and 3 1/3 innings, -2 fantasy points. And that is Kenta Maeda from Detroit. We like what Detroit's doing over there, but if you can't beat the sorry rear-end Chicago White Sox and give up 6 earned runs on 7 hits, you have no place on a roster, even though he's facing the Oakland A's in his next game. But that's got to be the springboard that brings him back into my favor. He's not going to be in my favor until he does well against them in that game. But he's at 48.3%. rostered, and so I'm not feeling it whatsoever, and there's got to be better starting pitchers out there than him. Go and find yourself one.
Okay. I'm gonna go a guy who's listed as a relieving pitcher, okay, but got his first ever major league start this week. He only found the strike zone 33 out of 68 pitches. He went for 2 innings, giving up 4 earned runs, 6 walks, and only 1 strikeout. AJ Puck of the Miami Marlins. I don't know why they had him starting. I mean, I know they're beat up injury-wise, but if you have AJ Puck on your team, which you probably don't, but he's owned still in 39% of leagues, and that's down from 7.5%. So that was over almost 50% he was owned. AJ Puck should not be on your team right now and rostered in any league that you're in. That's danger zone material there.
I'm totally with you on that one. And so another pitcher who happened to pitch on his opening day, unfortunately for him, it was against the Dodgers. He gave up 5 runs on 7 hits and 2 walks in 4 1/3 innings, -1 fantasy points, and he's starting this week. Unlike the last guy I just mentioned, he's pitching at San Diego, and that's Miles Mikolas. You want nothing whatever to do with Miles Mikolas or maybe even any of the Cardinal starters. They're hurt anyway. You know, what did they do have are not good. And I would stay way, way, way away this week, maybe forever, from Miles Mikolas. You don't want to start him in San Diego. Against the Dodgers in San Diego is about as tough as you can possibly start your season. So you don't want him. So don't have him.
So I agree. I don't have any other drops. Do you have any other drops?
I do not. Okay. I do not.
So right now, as we're live, St. Louis is leading LA 4-0 going into the seventh. Steven Mott's pitching 5.1 innings, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, allowing 0 earned runs so far. LA started Gavin Stone, who was mentioned on this show last week, I believe. 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, and they've already gone to the bullpen. Well, already, they're in the seventh inning, but they are in the bullpen now as well. Betts has not, he's been phenomenal to start this year, not been able to do anything yet in this game. That being said, Goldschmidt gets an RBI. Donovan gets a couple RBIs as well in this game. So some intriguing starts here to the season. We're seeing up and down performances in this first series of the season. We'll know a lot more, really, even by next week. We'll know a lot more. 2 more series will be played. We'll have 3 series to look at for most teams there as well. So that'll be fun to watch. I saw that San Francisco DFA Joey Bart, who was supposed to be the big replacement at catcher a few years ago for them, he did not turn out. He is now gone. And then I thought I saw something else. Nothing of importance, I guess, on there. So plenty of Major League Baseball stuff going on, and we're going to cover it every single week.
That's right.
And we're going to look at the Council Curse every week. We're going to look at ads and drops every week and all the latest news and everything like that. Kevin, tell us about the article that you've got dropping here, I'm sure soon, on bellyupfantasysports.com.
Well, you can be pretty sure, because on my last article, I wrote about some ads, the ones that we talked about last week. But if you're going to add, you're going to drop, maybe some of the ones that we just discussed will be on that list. Maybe there'll be others. But you're going to want to check the end of that. That'll be on the Belly Up Fantasy webpage. And I've got all kinds of articles on there already. So if you're into fantasy baseball, which, of course, if you're watching, you are. So get over to the Belly Up Fantasy website. Check out the articles that are over there. You will find yourself something that will help you figure out what exactly you're doing in your fantasy baseball life.
Definitely. And I have to apologize. I lied. The Dodgers and the Cardinals are in the bottom of the sixth, and the Dodgers just scored. Teoscar Hernandez, who, by the way, maybe worth picking up. he's had a good start to his season.
He was a guy who I was not crowing from here to, you know, shining sea about. But hey, he's on the Dodgers. He can hit home runs every game. I'd be fine with it.
He's looking good. All right. So follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin62 WILSEA. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove. Check out the websites bellyupfantasysports.com, SeatGeek.com, use the promo code BellyUpSports, and RighteousFelon.com, use the code Stove15 at checkout. We'll be back tomorrow night for the Sports Stove Local Hour. Ryan Jackson, EKU football player, will join me. Our guest lineup has not been set yet. Actually, I was texting even at the beginning of the show, got a text saying the guest I requested could not make it. So we'll have another guest on the show hopefully as well. Wednesday night, my dad and I will be back talking NASCAR, Major League Baseball, NCAA tournament, all kinds of stuff going on in the sports world. And next Sunday, we'll be right back here at 8 o'clock to talk. Actually, Kevin, I'll talk to you about this off air. It may be, either way, it's going to air Sunday at 8 o'clock. So you can tune into YouTube.
Sunday at That's 8 right.
O'clock, Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We'll have the ads and drops and all that kind of stuff for you there as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Thanks to Kevin, as always. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Have a great week.